Okay, so Isaiah chapter 14, page 1410. Some of you will be relieved to see that we're at the very final chapter of Hosea. It's been a strange book maybe to some of us, maybe one that we're unfamiliar with. But we're coming here to the end, which will hopefully help us bring that together. So Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily, like a cedar of Lebanon. He will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree, his fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Men will dwell again in his shade. He will flourish like the grain. He will blossom like a vine, and his fame will be like the wine from Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? I will answer him and care for him, for I am like a green pine tree. Your fruitfulness comes from me. Who is wise? He will realize these things. Who is discerning? He will understand them. The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. And we're going to end the reading of God's word there this morning. We sometimes talk about being left speechless. There's a queue at the post office all the way out the door, and you see someone wander in all the way to the front of the queue, walking right up to the counter. You know very well that they've seen the queue that's standing there. They knew exactly what they're doing. I'm speechless. You say, you just can't believe that someone would act like that. Or out of the blue, someone confronts you, giving out about something that you've done that you were completely unaware of. In fact, you're sure that they've got their story wrong. But the outburst came so suddenly, so unexpectedly, that you simply stand there, speechless. But there are other times when we know that we have done wrong. We've messed up so badly and failed in such a big way that we simply don't know what we should do. We have no idea how to restore the relationship that we've broken. We've no idea how to rebuild the trust that we have destroyed. We've no idea how we can undo the mess that we've made. We just stand there speechless. We don't know what to say, and we don't know what to do. Well, it's as though Israel finds herself in that place now. Their relationship with the Lord has been broken. All trust has been destroyed. They've made a mess of everything. What are they to do? Well, Hosea tells them very simply, verse 1, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. What are they to do? Well, they are simply to return to the Lord. But how do you do that? How do you return to the Lord? Maybe you've been going in a direction that has taken you further and further away from the Lord. You've pursued other things and other people, neglecting your Lord. Your sins have been your downfall, and you know it. What are we to do when we've made a mess of things? What are we to do when our relationship with the Lord has been broken? Well, it's this simple, Hosea tells us. Take words with you. That's Hosea's instruction in verse 2. Take words with you and return to the Lord. But what are we to say? Well, we see here the words we need to say. When I was learning to drive, you had to complete a 3-point turn to pass your driving test. I don't know if it's still called that. But it was essentially the maneuver that you needed to turn direction safely in a car. We all remember how to do it, don't we? You turn across the road, you reverse back, and off you go again in 3 simple points, or when you were learning to drive, either 5, 7, or 9, depending on what stage you were at. You were going the wrong way, you needed to turn around, and a 3-point turn was needed. Well, in verse 2, it seems that Hosea gives us the 3-point turn of repentance. What are we to do when we've been going the wrong way and we need to turn around and return to the Lord? Well, Hosea says there are 3 words we need to say: forgiveness, acceptance, and worship. These are the 3 words we need to say. This is the 3-point turn of repentance. Point 1, forgiveness. Here's the first thing we're to say: forgive all our sins. That's the place to start. But it requires, first of all, recognizing that we have sinned. Now, we prefer to say other things, don't we? We talk about slipping up, making a mistake, knowing what we should have done. But no, we have sinned. We knew what God wanted. We knew what God expected. But we ignored the words of God. We turned our back on the Lord. And we did the very thing that we knew we should not do. We have sinned. And until we come to that point, there cannot be real repentance. But once you know that you've sinned, here are the words you're to take with you. Here are the words you need to say: forgive all our sins. Return to the Lord, turn back to Him, and simply ask Him to forgive you for the wrong that you have done, for the offense that you have caused. Indeed, when we pray, forgive all our sins, we're recognizing that our sins are many, that our offense is great, and that we can do nothing to make up for the wrong that we have done. Point 2, acceptance. Here's the next thing we need to say: forgive all our sins and receive us graciously. You see, for the person whose relationship has been broken, forgiveness is never enough. We long for more than that. We long for acceptance. We want to know not only that our offense has been forgiven, but that we have been accepted. Forgiveness is about the wrong that we have done. Acceptance is about the relationship that we have broken. If we go back to that story that Jesus told about the prodigal son, you remember when the son returns home, he dares only to ask that the father would forgive him. He cannot possibly imagine that the father could accept him. He returns and asks only that he can be a servant in his father's house. But the father will hear of no such thing. The father not only forgives his son, but he accepts his son as the son he had lost. Isn't that what the father in the story says? This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father was not willing only to forgive. He wanted to accept his son back as his son. Did he deserve it? No, absolutely not, and nor do we. But Hosea encourages Israel to say these words, "Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously." Why would Hosea encourage them to ask for such a thing? Unless he knew that this was the very thing that the Lord wanted to do. Did they deserve it? Absolutely not. But Hosea knew that the Lord was gracious and does not treat us as our sins deserve. What are we to do when we mess up in our relationship with the Lord? We're to return. Turn around. But what are we to say? Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously. Point three of this three-point turn. Worship. Here's the thing to say. Forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Now, that could mean that having been forgiven by God and accepted by God, that we respond in worship to God for his forgiveness and acceptance. After all, that would be normal and right. It'd be strange if forgiveness and acceptance didn't result in worship. But I think rather than worship here being our response of worship, it seems to be our restoration to worship. In other words, what is normal for God's people is that they should worship the Lord. And when we return to the Lord, we are being restored to a position where worship is simply what we do. Because worship is what we are supposed to do. The problem for Israel was that they had turned away from worshipping the Lord. They had turned to other nations to save them. They had worshipped other gods. They had even made gods of their own making. And when they returned to the Lord, they would be restored in their worship of God. In other words, it wasn't something that they were doing for God, as though they were doing him a favor. It was a position to which they were being restored because they knew they were in need of the Lord. Here's what those who have experienced forgiveness and acceptance will say. Verse 3, Assyria cannot save us. We will not mount war horses. We will never again say our gods to what our own hands have made. For in you the fatherless find compassion. If we've been forgiven by God and accepted by God, we're restored to a life of worship as we trust our Heavenly Father. But we see here not only the words we need to say, but the waywardness we need healed. The Lord may forgive us, accept us, and restore us, but there's still a problem that remains. And it is the waywardness of our hearts. You see, we're reminded that sin is not simply a behavior that needs to be corrected, but a condition that needs to be healed. Maybe you've gone to the doctor with particular symptoms, but the symptoms are only a sign of an underlying condition. So the doctor doesn't just treat the symptoms. He treats the underlying condition. And in the same way, the Lord not only forgives our sins, but he heals the waywardness of our hearts. Well, how does he do that? The Lord heals our waywardness by loving us freely. Seems completely counterintuitive to us, doesn't it? So much of our love for others is conditional. I will love you if, and then we add our conditions. Or I will love you so long as, and we explain the circumstances under which our love will be withdrawn. And we think that if we act in that way, offering conditional love, we will get the behaviour that we want. They'll be good so that we will love them. But the Lord says, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, without conditions. The covenant with the Old Testament people of God was a conditional covenant. They would live in the land that God had given them so long as they obeyed the Lord and kept his commandments. But it hadn't worked. Those kinds of conditions didn't bring about right behavior. It didn't correct their behavior because it did not heal their condition, the waywardness of their hearts. So the Lord speaks of a time when he will heal their waywardness by loving them freely, by loving them without condition. Isn't that what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus? God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Jesus, God loves us freely, without condition, while we were sinners. And he does this not to control our behavior, but to heal our condition, the waywardness of our hearts, so that we can say with the Apostle John, we love because he first loved us. The Lord heals our waywardness by removing his anger from us. Verse 4, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. Once again, that seems completely counterintuitive to us. We think that if we're going to change someone's behavior, that we need to be able to threaten them with something. All those with children certainly work on that theory. If we get angry enough, shout loud enough, ignore them enough, make them feel guilty enough, then they will do what we want them to do. And that may change their behavior for a while, but it fails to change the heart. And God has threatened these people over and over and over again with the curses of the covenant. What will happen if they fail to obey him and keep his commands? They'll be removed from the land of promise. But it failed to correct their behavior because it did not heal their condition, the waywardness of their hearts. So the Lord speaks of a time when he will heal the waywardness of their hearts by removing his anger from them. Isn't that what God has done for us in Jesus? God's anger against our sin has been turned away from us. But if it has been turned away from us, where has it been turned to? It has been turned towards Jesus instead of us. As Jesus hung on the cross, he experienced the full anger of God against my sin. God's anger was turned away from me only because it was turned towards Jesus, so that we could be forgiven, and so that he might heal the waywardness of our hearts. Isn't that again what the Apostle John says? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God's anger was turned away from us towards Jesus. The Lord heals our waywardness by abundantly blessing us. Thank you, Esther, for the, don't need to say any more. Think of all those Rice Krispies overflowing out of the bowl. God's abundant blessing. Verses 5 to 9 describe for us the abundant blessing of God on his people. Look at the language that's used. It's a picture of a vigorous plant with deep roots, well watered, blossoming with flowers and abounding in fruit. And it reflects the language of God's covenant to Abraham, how through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And isn't that what God has done for us in Jesus? Abundantly blessed not just one nation, but all of the nations of the earth, anyone who puts their trust in Jesus. We're healed from our waywardness because we are joined to Jesus. Our fruitfulness, we read in verse 8, comes from him. And isn't that the very thing that Jesus said in John 15? I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, in Jesus, the Lord not only forgives our sins, but he heals our waywardness by joining us to Jesus. But we see here not only the words we need to say and the waywardness we need healed, but the ways in which we need to walk. See that in verse 9. As those forgiven, accepted and restored, as those whose waywardness is being healed, we have new ways in which we should walk. We don't continue to live the way that we did before. We are changed. We walk in the Lord's ways. Hosea refers in verse 9 to the ways of the Lord. Now, in our English Bibles, the word Lord sometimes appears in lowercase letters, little letters, and sometimes in uppercase letters, big letters. So if you have a look here, you'll see it appears in uppercase letters, all big letters. When it's small letters, it simply means master or ruler. That's the word it's trying to translate. But when it appears in large letters, it's referring to the covenant name of God, which you might have heard as Jehovah or Yahweh. It's the name by which God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. It's God's special name for God's chosen people, reflecting his covenant promises to his people. So Hosea refers here to the ways of the Lord, big letters. Not the ways of God the Master, though he is that, but the ways of God the Husband, the Lover, the Promise Keeper, the Lord who is faithful to all he has said. And God's people walk in the Lord's ways. Maybe one of your parents at some time said something like this to you. Well, that might be okay for the Smiths, but that's not how the Parkers behave. In generations gone by, you might have been warned about bringing shame on the family name. A certain behavior was expected because of the family to which you belonged. We belong to the Lord. And so we are to walk in the Lord's ways. But we're reminded here also that the Lord's ways are right ways. The ways of the Lord are right. The Lord's ways are good ways. The Lord's ways are the way things are meant to be. The Lord's ways are not meant to be boring, burdensome, or restrictive. The Lord's ways are the ways in which we are meant to enjoy life in all of its fullness. Our Creator and our Redeemer knows what is best for us and wants what is best for us. The ways of the Lord are right and good. The ways of the Lord are right, and the wise understand them. There are times in my life when I struggle with the Lord's ways. I wish his ways were different. I would love to change some of his commands. But the problem is not with the Lord's ways. The problem is with my heart. I think I know more than I do, but I lack wisdom. Because the wise understand the Lord's ways. They get them. Because their thinking has come in line with God's thinking. They realize why God says what he says. They understand why God does what he does. It's not that they don't have questions, but they have learned to trust the Lord's ways rather than their own thinking. The Lord's ways are right. The wise understand them, and the righteous walk in them. Sometimes you'll see a child, usually a little girl, trying to wear her mother's shoes. She seems to pick the ones with the biggest heels, the ones that are the most difficult to walk in. And what happens? She stumbles and she falls. Why? Because the shoes don't fit. And as we come to the end of the book, we're told that the same is true of the Lord's ways. The rebellious stumble in them. Why? Because they simply don't fit. The Lord's ways are strange to them. But the righteous, those who've been forgiven, accepted, and restored, whose waywardness has been healed, they walk in them. Why? Because they have been changed. The waywardness of their hearts has been healed by the God who has loved them freely by sending his Son, turning away his anger from them towards his Son, and making them fruitful by joining them to his Son. So let us learn to love the Lord's ways and to walk in them. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to see that your ways are right. In all those times that we question your commands, where we think we know better, where we think that they don't seem to apply to us, oh Father, we pray that you would grant to us wisdom to realize that your ways are right ways. Help us to trust you and your ways rather than ourselves and our own thinking. And oh Father, we pray that you would help us to be wise, to understand why you say what you say, why you do what you do, and that we would walk in your ways. Father, we pray for those to whom your ways seem strange, who stumble and fall in them, who don't understand the kinds of things you call your people to live. Oh Father, we pray that you would help them to see that they need to be changed. They need their hearts to be changed. And Father, we pray for us who are your people, that you would help us to see our need to constantly turn from our sinful and foolish ways, to come to you asking for forgiveness, asking for acceptance, and asking to be restored to that place of worship. We thank you for all that we've received in the Lord Jesus, that we love because you first loved us, that we love because you sent your Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And help us to see that we can walk in right ways, not because of something in us, but because you have joined us to your Son Jesus, that he lives in us by his Spirit, enabling us to walk in right ways. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.